This week I listened to a podcast called How I Built This, which is a podcast put out about entrepreneurs, innovators, idealists, people who are trying to start a movement by usually with some sort of an invention of some kind. So the particular episode that I came across was one about the app Instagram. Since this weekend is Social Media Sunday, I thought maybe this will fit. And if you've already checked out of the young priest talking about social media again, stick with me. Hang in there. In case you aren't familiar, Instagram is that app that lets us share photos of where we are. It's primarily a photo sharing app, which is what makes it unique, one of the things. As I said, pictures of where you are, who you're with, or most frequently and perhaps most importantly, what you're eating. One of the unique features is that it lets you apply filters to your photos, such that a color photo might become black and white, or it might be otherwise changed to look better or different or unique or something like that. One could follow a celebrity. One could follow a world leader. One could follow just their friends. So as it turns out, in the creation of this app, the filters that I referenced were what the creators decided would make it unique. They had made apps before that let you show where you were, so where let you check in. But the it factor that they were looking for was these filters. And one of the creators in the process had become so frustrated with that process that he decided to take a vacation with the woman who would become his wife. The other one stayed at home and worked on building of the app. So if you've been to Mexico where he went on his vacation at sunset, you know the picturesque scene that he saw when he said, "Man, I just wish I could capture this moment." And since, you know, phones then and now are so readily accessible and can take pretty high-quality pictures, his now wife said, "Go for it. Take the picture. Why not?" So he did. But it wasn't as good as he wanted it to be. It didn't capture the whole picture, as it were. And so she said, "You know, maybe if you could just change it in some way. Maybe if you could filter it, perhaps you could alter your picture." And Instagram was born. And now we are all able, using those filters and edits, to make it look like we are somewhere exotic and we're really just at 119th in Antioch. Or make it look like we're the next Ansel Adams or somebody like that. It strikes me that in some ways this is how we live our lives too, filtering out that which we would rather not see, something that makes the image more bearable. It can be easier and better and more comfortable to not see the suffering and the crises and the experiences of some of our neighbors. What we see taking place in the world abroad, and don't miss what's happening in Kansas City or in very close cities to us, is filtered by so much. Perhaps it's our news source. Perhaps it's our friends or our family. Perhaps it's those we share with whom we share conversations, or perhaps it's our own desires that blind us. But if we're honest with ourselves, we can recognize that we are we have been blind to much in the world. Perhaps we have simply chosen that way because some days it is easier. Our gospel lesson for today describes the story of a rich man who, while he was alive, had everything he could want. He ate and drank as much as he wanted. He wore the best clothes. And at his gate, itself a sign of both his prosperity and a sign of boundary and border and separation, was a man in great need named Lazarus, a different Lazarus than the one who was raised from the dead. Lazarus was lying at his gate in great physical pain, in great distress, in hunger. He was sick, covered in sores, licked by the dogs. Both men die, we are told, and Lazarus is carried by the angels to be in the bosom of Abraham, Abraham, the father of many nations, certainly this is a place one would want to be. The rich man is buried, not carried away by angels, buried. And we are told that he is in Hades, where he is being tormented. He reaches out to Lazarus, and even in his death, needs Lazarus to do something for him, to bring him cold water, to touch his lips for some relief. Lazarus was that one who he had ignored his whole life. And Abraham says, the chasm is too great. The divide is too great. It cannot be crossed. There's nothing that anybody can do. This can be a lot to process. For some of us, the idea that one person is in hell being tormented and there's nothing that anybody can do about that might be unsettling. Second, we hear an indictment against a rich man. And certainly by the world's standards, I think it wouldn't be a stretch to say some of us might see ourselves in some of that indictment. I know that I do. But notice that the rich man isn't being tormented because of his richness alone. That is, his possessions and his money are not in and of themselves the cause of his sin. Instead, the sin that the rich man took place in, the sin that he participated in, was not seeing Lazarus outside of his gate, just on the border of his property. There he was, starving, in pain, sick, desperate even just for some crumbs. And the rich man and seemingly everybody else walked by, unseen, not seeing him, not acknowledging his experience or his suffering. If I'm honest, I know that I do this too much too. Seeing the stories of another black man killed this week, hearing the pleas of Native people in North Dakota, watching as terrorism grips our focus once again, all have me feeling though it would be easier to move through this life unaware. It would be pretty good. None of that stuff's happening to me. Of course, over the course of the last several months and even years, I've had to have my own eyes repeatedly open to others' experiences of this world. The list, unfortunately, of this is too long. I don't consider where my food or my clothes come from or how they're made. I don't have to think of my race as a factor in anything that I do or any place that I go or any situation that I'm in. A place of privilege, certainly, and one that I've only recently become aware of. I can move through this world without being affected by mental health issues. The list goes on. But so many do. And for me and for us to stay in a space that doesn't see those experiences, and certainly many others, says that those experiences have no value. It communicates that life that looks and feels and is different from our own is a chasm that cannot be bridged. As people of faith, we can't live this way. Because even though these things may not be happening to us directly, and they are to some of us, they are happening to our neighbors, they are happening to our brothers and sisters in Christ who are in this space if we know one another's stories. And they are affecting the way that we see this world. And if we remain blind to these, we stay like the rich man who refused to see Lazarus and Lazarus's experiences and sufferings of this world. We human beings, we've done a pretty darn good job of remaining blind to each other and creating chasms between groups, between those who are in and out, between those who have and those who don't. And I don't just mean money. So the work and the call of a faithful person is first to choose to see the world fully, unfiltered, clearly, to choose to see each person in it. And certainly this is more difficult than it seems. It means that we choose to see each person in each moment, each experience for what it is, even if it is broken, even if it is tragic. It means that we aren't colorblind in the face of issues surrounding race. It means that we acknowledge one another's presence, even if that person may be asking us to give them something. It means that we grieve when each other grieves and we rejoice when each other rejoices. To do this, to notice each other, to see each other, to tell each other that they are loved. This can be done. It needs to be done. And we are who God calls to do it. In our baptism, we promise, and not only in ours, but in the ones that we witness taking place here and other places, we promise to seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbor as ourselves. To live this calling in tangible, real, seen ways means that we do not filter out the moments of our lives and of others' lives that we would rather not see, the ones that make us uncomfortable, the ones that disturb us. But instead, to do so looks like you and I, to notice people, to see their experience. Notice it looks like you and I living out the good news of God in Christ, that each person has been lovingly and perfectly made, that each person has a story and experiences and gifts to share. And in seeing and in weeping with and in rejoicing with and in knowing people, in each person we meet, we build bridges over those chasms that seem too great. And we tell everybody that they are loved by God unconditionally.